Well, it is breathtaking, isn't it, listening to? It is just quite something. I don't know about you, I don't know, it's not just the whole experience of listening to these carols is quite something, quite breathtaking. Not least, I think, because of the world, the pictures that are created in our minds. We've just been singing and had sung to us a world of peace and of love, a world of joy. And I don't know about you, but as we hear these carols sung to us, it kind of taps into something that we deeply long for. There's that sense as we hear the carols that maybe something will be all right. Maybe it will be all right after all. Do you have that sense just as you hear the carols of peace and love and of joy? I don't know what it is that you're longing for this Christmas time. There was a survey on that highbrow survey machine Twitter recently, which was your Christmas list in three words. I don't know, what would yours be? Your Christmas list in just three words. There was all sorts of things. Of course, the Nike running shoes, the PlayStation 15, or whatever we're up to at the moment, the IKEA furniture, assembled and not normal. The student loan gone, and of course, if you're that way inclined, the MacBook Pro, if that's for you. But actually, as you read through, a lot of them were a bit more poignant than that as well. There were things like the negative test results, my mother's acceptance, no more poverty, kindness, love, peace. In fact, as you read through, more and more this theme came up, this longing that's inside us for peace, this world that we long for. And I guess we all feel something of the tension this Christmas time, don't we? Here we are, huddled inside the building, singing songs about love and joy and peace. And yet we know that as we go out of the building, that is not the world we live in. We live in a world of disharmony and of strife and of pain. In fact, we were singing the words earlier, weren't we? Just when we sung, yet with the woes of sin and strife, this world has suffered long. Beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. Whatever the angel strain is. We have this sense that it's just not right. And we feel this tension. No matter how much Stollen we eat, no matter how many Mariah Carey music, much music we put on, no matter how many times we listen to the Pogues or Alan Jones or whatever it is, no amount of mulled wine can dull the sense that we have that it's just not right. The world isn't as it should be. You know, like in the early morning in Plattfields when there's the beautiful frost and it's an image, a beautiful image, but within moments, it's just gone. We feel something of the tension at this Christmas time. And then we hear these stories, these songs, that Jesus was meant to bring peace on earth. And we can't help but think, Jesus, if you were meant to bring peace on earth, you didn't do a very good job. You didn't do a very good job. It just isn't like that. Like so many Christmas presents that we'll all receive this year, it promises much, but actually it fails to deliver. And so we all, whoever we are, whatever we've come from, we find ourselves asking these same questions. If Jesus can't bring the peace on earth that he's promised, well then who can? Where can we turn to for hope in this world? And I just want to look very briefly this evening at one verse in the Bible, which I think helps us understand how Jesus can be the Prince of Peace in a world of strife. The verse is printed in the back of these little booklets, if you've got it in front of you. And you might want to turn to it. It's the one right at the top. And I just want to read it to you. It's very short. Don't worry. Jesus says this. Jesus himself says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now, sometimes Christmas can be a bit predictable, can't it? Every Christmas time, the same food. Brussels sprouts, why? Why? the same music being played. You, like me, are still listening to the Pogues. Why? Why? The same Christmas jumper, the snowman one. The same Christmas carols as we come year by year. And so we come to church and we hear the same predictable Christmas message year by year. Well, I want to suggest that this verse is the surprise of a predictable Christmas. You see, Jesus gets under our skin. It's not what we're expecting as we came to hear Jesus this evening, was it? Jesus says, "I did not come to earth to bring peace. It's not what we're expecting. In fact, I think it's one of the most surprising verses in the whole Bible. He didn't come to bring some kind of cosmetic, skin-deep peace, that all the world might hold hands and pretend that everything was all right for a day or two. Jesus didn't come to bring superficial relationships or sentimental feelings. No, it says, in fact, he came to bring a sword. That is the surprise of a predictable Christmas, isn't it? Jesus says he came to bring the sword. Now, what is he talking about? The sword here, of course, is not talking about some kind of wild, uncontrollable violence. No, no, not at all. Nothing to do with that. The sword that he speaks of here is the sword of justice. It is the sword, actually, of his judgment. And I want to say right at the start, or right in the middle, don't worry, we're not at the start. I want to say that this is wonderful news. Oh, of course, we find it hard and we balk at it, but I want to say that this is wonderful news. And I want to dare to suggest that this is the best news that you will hear all Christmas. You see, we all know, don't we? All of us know, all of us feel that this world isn't as it should be. All of us read the same newspaper articles. We read stories of injustice and pain. We read stories of genuine evil and prejudice and repression in our world. Not just in our world, in our city, and even in our own lives. We feel something that it is just not right. All of us long for justice. We cry out, why won't someone just do something about it? Have you ever had that feeling? As you look at the news, as you read the papers, and yet at the same time we know that justice doesn't come cheaply. It needs more than a kind of a surface covering, just like the Christmas cake. It needs something more profound and more deep. Justice cannot come just by ignoring conflict, but by dealing with it. Imagine the horror for a moment. Imagine the horror of God, a bit like some kind of senile Father Christmas, sitting on his rocking chair. There he is with a glass of whiskey. He reads all about what is going on in the world, all the injustice, all the horror, all the evil. Imagine if God, seeing all of that, just shrugged his shoulders and he says, look, stuff happens. Imagine if he just kind of swept it under the Christmas tree, hid it in the Christmas pudding somewhere, closed the curtains, put on the fairy lights, and carried on inside. Imagine if Jesus Christ, God who came down to earth, was just like some kind of bearded hipster. And again, as he hears the cries going on in the street outside, imagine if he just turned to his followers and he said, look, let's just be kind to one another. Let's just love one another. We all realize immediately, don't we, that we need something much more. We need something much more profound. No, if justice is going to be done, we can't ignore the conflict, but it must be dealt with. And here is the wonderful news. Here is the surprising news of a predictable Christmas. Do you see the wonderful news? Jesus came as a baby in a manger to deal with it, not to turn a blind eye, not to pretend that everything was all right when it's not. He came to deal with all the evil that is going on in our world. Jesus came to earth to deal with the injustice, whether that's the small injustices that we've experienced that no one else knows about, whether it's the grand, great injustices which everyone knows about. Jesus the baby came to earth not to bring some kind of superficial peace, but to bring a sword of justice. You see, Christmas is a promise, actually. It's a promise that God sees, God knows, and God has acted. Now, you might say at this point, and I guess we might have reason to say, man alive, that's hardly chestnuts roasting in front of the open fire, is it? That's not exactly what we were thinking we were going to come and hear this evening. All the turkey, the lights, the presents, you know, the Christmas parties going on in town, all of this to celebrate the fact that Jesus is like some cosmic policeman who's going to sort everything out. Is that it? Is that all? Well, I want to say, no, it's much more profound than that. It gets even better. You see, as we read through the life of Jesus, we see why it is that all the choirs of angels sing. Why he is so compelling to us. I don't know if you've ever read through A Life of Jesus. If you haven't, please do. Please take a copy of one of the Gospels and read through it. It is an astonishing life. He heals the sick. He, in fact, raises a little dead girl. He walks on water. He calms a storm. He teaches with his astonishing authority. It is an astonishing life that he leads. But perhaps the most astonishing thing of his life is that it is a life that is largely a private life. He keeps himself in the shadows, if you like. And in fact, all through this astonishing life, one great shadow hangs over him. He himself says that his whole life is in preparation for his death. An astonishing life, but he tells us that he was born to die. And this is where the news of Christmas is not just right, but it is good. It's not just good, but it is wonderful. It is not just wonderful, but it is compelling for all of us. You see, Jesus came to earth not to bring peace, but to bring a sword. But here's the twist. When Jesus died on the cross, he took the sword so that we could have peace. Oh yes, Jesus will bring peace. He will bring justice. He will right every wrong that has ever happened. He came to bring a sword. But when Jesus died on the cross, he took that sword. He took the punishment that people like you and I deserve, so that we can have peace. In fact, we were just singing about it, weren't we? Or we had it sung to us just now. When every unclean thought, every sinful deed was scourged upon his back and hammered through his feet. The innocent is cursed, the guilty are released. The punishment of God on God has brought me peace. Do you see this twist? Do you see the flip? Jesus took the sword himself so that we could have peace. And I want to say there that the result of that is global and cosmic and affects the whole world. You see, as we see Jesus dying on the cross, we see that justice was done. Evil has been paid for. But not just justice, the most astonishing love and mercy, that he died for others. And that is why all the choirs of angels worship him. That is why Jesus is so compelling. You see, this evening, as we, if you like, huddle together to sing songs about love and about joy and about peace, we're not pretending. You see, it's real. It's true. Jesus has done everything to create this world where love and joy and peace will be experienced by all who trust in him. One day there will be global peace. All people will be united in Jesus Christ. You see, Christmas is cosmic. Christmas is universal. Christmas is a great promise. And that means that Christmas is for you and it is for me. It is a promise and it is also an invitation. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, when he took the sword, taking that punishment that we deserved, he died that you and I might be forgiven. Just as Ali was telling us, as he experienced so many years ago, he died that we might have peace and that we might know God and have peace with him. Our final song this evening, one of the most famous ones, one of all our favorites, sings, "Hark, the herald angels sing." And why is it that the angels are singing? It is because Jesus brings light and life. He died and he rose with healing in his wings. He was born that mankind no more may die. He was born to raise the sons of earth. And he was born to give them second birth. You see, when it comes to peace with God, Jesus doesn't say to you, and he doesn't say to me this Christmas, put on your Christmas best, put on your best behavior, and see how long you can stretch it out. Go on, see if you can get it through to the new year. If we want to have peace with God, Jesus hasn't come just to reward the people who have been religious. No, the wonderful news is that Jesus has come to offer to all of us, whoever we are, whatever we've done, peace with God. Christmas is a promise, and Christmas is an invitation to you. And so our great hope, our prayer, if you like, if you are here this evening as someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus yet, is that you might come to accept this invitation and come to know Jesus yourself. Oh, not the sentimental Jesus of the storybooks, but the real Jesus. The real Jesus who is Christ, the Lord, the one who died on the cross to bring hope to the world and to bring peace for you. If you don't know Jesus yet, we're thrilled you're here, and we'd love to offer you one of these little booklets as you leave. All it does is it goes through something of the Christian faith. It says why Jesus came and explains so that you might know him better. And at the end, it has a little prayer to pray that you might wish to pray if you want to make that step that Ali did when he was 14 and come to know the Lord Jesus yourself. And we'd love to give you one of these at the end. Thank you for listening so patiently. I'm going to hand back over to Ollie.